Tonight, James gives Matt the clap. Mike falls all over Tennessee, and we watch fat hairy porn.
Howling Mad James!
Let's go!
And this is...
Strawbunk.com.
And this is not so howling mad, but utterly fucking confused Couch Potato Mike.
Oh.
What the fuck was that, sir?
It was on the... So if you're on Facebook, there's the Survival Punks group there, and we were having a raucous conversation the other day.
Raucous?
About, I was like, yeah, Mike wants a soundboard like a radio show host, and I'm like, that could be dangerous, like... dropping, like, sound drops all the time, and I'm like... And then I'm just gonna be like, Howling Mad James. Ho! Howling Mad James on the radio! Cow!
Oh. So I halfway thought that was, like, a reference to the A-Team. Howling Mad Murdoch?
Yeah, yeah. Who is that? Wolfman Jack? Yeah, the radio?
Yeah, Wolfman Jack. You know, he was, like, that famous
yeah.
DJ.
Yeah, yeah.
Big old fat hairy dude.
Yeah. Ooh. Like Ron Jeremy.
Without the play.
Yeah. Yeah. And the giant
I don't
cock,
know how,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how much play he got.
Oh, Ron Jeremy.
You know, back in the day, he could suck his own dick.
Yeah.
Now he's got so fat, you know, he can barely reach the tip.
You know what I find amusing?
What's that?
Just completely throwing the show. So this is a Survival Podcast show, and we're going to talk about porn in the beginning. That motherfucker, fat, old, and hairy as he is, he's still working. He can get, like, right now, if you look it up, he has, like, 7 19-year-old, like, videos he's banging. Like, oh, I feel like a 19-year-old this week. Just make it happen. And it's like, you gotta think, like, that poor, like, 19-year-old porn star is like, oh, I gotta fuck Ron Jeremy. Like, ugh.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like...
Well, but is it, oh, I gotta fuck Ron Jeremy, or, ooh, I get to fuck Ron Jeremy. He's a legend in the business.
I'm not even sure. Like,
I mean, well, he is a legend in the business.
He is, yes.
That's the thing. I mean, that's actually a feather in some porn stars' cap. Oh, I get to work with Ron Jeremy.
Yeah.
That's like, ooh, I get to work with Jenna Jameson or Jessie Jane. You know, she's one of the new up-and-comers.
Oh, Jessie. Well, at this point, she's already down and going.
Oh, she's retired?
Well, not quite, but porn stars don't have a long career. Like they usually bang and then either make it up or leave and then go into, like, producing or whatever, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I'm no porn star...
Aficionado,
or I was gonna, like...
Yes, but it is amazing that some of them get so fucking big that non-porn watchers fucking know who the hell they are, like Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, exactly.
He's arguably the most famous fucking porn star ever.
Yeah.
And he got it by being fat and ugly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and he had a giant cock. I mean,
Yeah, that's kind of... that's like... Oh, you're fat, and you're hairy, and you're ugly, and you're kind of dumb-looking. But you have, like, a fucking, like, 11-inch cock, so, yay.
I mean, if you look at his early work, though, before he got fat and ugly, like, he wasn't, you know, he was in decent shape.
I've actually seen one of his early, like, 70s porns. I wouldn't say he was in decent shape. I'm just saying he was a lot smaller.
Yeah, I mean, I would say he was, like, average person.
Oh, yeah, he was average and ugly and hairy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, I saw him sucking his own dick.
Awesome. And on that bombshell.
Yeah. Good night.
Coming up on the
good night, everybody. All right. Coming, no pun intended, up on the show, we're going to be talking about Mount St. Helens and what's cooking down there. Some survival myths that could get you fucking killed. And let's see. We're going to be discussing things that are better than voting. We're going to be talking about leg day. And we're going to be answering a listener question, and I'm going to be griping about something later. So why don't we just jump right into it?
Absolutely. First news story about...
What lies below? Swarms of earthquakes detected beneath Mount St. Helens. The story comes from TheGuardian.com.
I thought that was a UK site, to be honest. A swarm of more than 138 earthquakes has been detected beneath Mount St. Helens over the last 8 weeks, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. Since March, the rate of such earthquakes under the Washington State volcano has been steadily increasing. The USGS reported at its peak, nearly 40 earthquakes have been located per week. Wow. Most of the earthquakes have occurred about 1 to 4 miles beneath the active volcano, and most have been extremely weak at the magnitude of 0.5 or less. The largest, a 1.3 level earthquake.
The USGS said that there had been many more earthquakes that had been too small to be felt at the surface or precisely located. A 0.7 level earthquake would not be felt if you were standing on the surface above it, the seismologist wrote. The quakes do not mean the volcano is any more likely to erupt in the near future, the USGS said, describing the earthquakes as common. Volcano tectonic nature and indicative of a slip and a small fault. They do, though, suggest the volcano is recharging its stores of magma, the scientist said. As the molten rock rises to fill the volcano's magma chamber, it presses against the colder rock around it, increasing stress. This push and pull creates quakes. The USGS noted that the similar swarms caused minor convulsions beneath Mount St. Helens in 2013 and 2014, and the earthquakes swarmed in the 90s with more energy and at much higher rates.
The seismologists said they had detected no anomalous gases.
Anomalous gases.
Increase in the ground inflation and shallow seismicity. And no signs of an imminent eruption.
I love this. I love that song. The seismicity of our city.
Yeah.
Anomalous gases in the increasing ground inflation.
As we observed at Mount St. Helens between 1987 and 2004, recharge can continue for many years beneath the volcano without an eruption, they wrote. I don't like the way this thing is written. Mount St. Helens last erupted in 2008. I didn't actually know that.
Oh, wow.
I thought it was like the 80s, wasn't it?
Was that when the top blew off, or was that a different time?
Maybe that was the 70s. Yeah, whatever.
No, the top blew off within our lifetime. I don't think it was the 80s. I think it was the late 90s, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Clinton was in office.
Oh. Mount St. Helens last erupted in 2008, after a surprise reawakening in 2004 and several years of sporadic activity. Swarms of earthquakes before the 2004 eruption averaged between the magnitude of 2 to 4. On May 18th, 1980...
Yes, fuckers, put the goddamn date in the right order. The order that the rest of us use... On 18 May.
Yeah, damn you, Guardian. On May 18th, 1980, it erupted. Yeah, 1980.
Okay, yeah,
it erupted
right.
To the devastating effect, not in my lifetime then. Devastating effect, a column of ash reaching 80,000 feet and pyroclastic flow of boiling ash, gas, rock cascading off its slopes. Part of the volcano collapsed as ash fell as far away as New Mexico.
Fucking shit, New Mexico.
That's crazy. And 57 people died as a result of the eruption. That's actually amazing. Only 57 people died from that much chaos.
Still, 57 people when a lot of times no one does.
Yeah. We go all over. The volcano is now one of the most closely monitored in the world. Researchers at three universities have placed thousands of sensors around the volcano to investigate its bowels.
It's telling us that years to decades from now, St. Helens will erupt again. Seth Morin, scientist-in-chief at the Cascades Volcano Observatory, told local Coin News. Our best long-term forecast is that the next eruption will be a lava dome building eruption, which will have some explosivity to it, but nothing as catastrophic as St. Helens in 1980. Eric Clementia, an assistant professor of geosciences at Denison University, noted in Wired magazine that recharging magma can take years. It might have been 5 years between the big recharge event in 98-99 and the 2004 eruptions, he said. The swarms of normal volcanic... The swarms of normal volcanic activity, Chlamydia wrote, magma rising up within the sleeping volcano will have a long path through the remains of past eruptions before it can load Mount St. Helens for a new one.
You ever get the feeling sometimes our show is actually being hosted by Beavis and Butthead?
Pretty much. This is why we should podcast on Saturdays and not Sundays, because I have to go to sleep in an hour. You just woke up.
Yeah, so we're both tired.
Yeah. And I don't really caffeine up because I have to go to sleep soon.
Yeah.
Because I work night shift, it's a weird transitional. Like, Sunday morning is a weird time for me because I go to sleep Saturday night, but then I wake up at like 3 in the morning, and then I go back to sleep at 10.
Yeah, and right now it just doesn't seem like our optic nerves and our vocal cords are working in unison with each other.
Yeah. I kind of thought before reading this article that it may have been more something to watch out for, more doomier. Doomier.
Is that a word?
I coined it. I did. So, I guess it's like, there's a bit more activity going on. It's probably not going to be like the end. I don't see a giant magma. I don't see a giant eruption coming. I'm not a volcanist, so whatever. But it's one of those things, like, I think there's something to, like, choosing where you live to minimize your exposure. Like, if you live at the foot of Mount St. Helens, probably not the smartest. It is an active volcano. You could be one of the 57 people that died.
Yeah.
You know, if you live in New Orleans and a place is prone to flooding, probably going to flood.
Yeah. The moral of this story is basically location, location, motherfucking location.
Yeah. I mean, everywhere has something. We have tornadoes.
Oh yeah.
But
I think they said, you know, years ago, I read somewhere that as far as natural disasters go, the safest state to live in this country is actually Maine. They don't get tornadoes. They're nowhere near a fault line. Tropical storms and hurricanes never make it up that far. They don't suffer from earthquakes. They don't suffer from volcanic eruptions.
They have winter weather that's pretty...
Yeah. But because they're along the coastline,
I bet it's milder. Yeah,
yeah. Blizzards and shit like that are a lot milder and actually don't hit there that much. And plus, the populated parts of Maine are actually in the lower part. Once you get up to the northern part, it's a lot of rough territory where hardly anybody lives.
I mean,
the northern parts of fucking Maine get they're on like Canadian power grids. Hmm. Interestingly enough, so
that is weird.
Yeah, so they don't get hit by hardly anything.
Yeah.
Except a lot of cold weather.
Yeah, and, well, that doesn't like... When you said the safest place, one of the first things that popped in my head would be, like, Arizona, because no tornadoes, no wildfires, because there's really not much to burn.
No.
High temperatures, I mean, extreme heat. No hurricanes, no blizzards.
Well, it depends on if you count a drought as a natural disaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they do suffer from droughts a lot.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yes, the United States of America. One giant collection of really fucked up places to live.
Yeah. So, next comes an article from our friends at howtosurviveit.com. We look like on time. Oh, God, so that thing's open. 13 minutes.
Oh, we're still doing good. We're only 13 and a half minutes in.
So, this is 7 survival myths that will get you killed. Throughout the course of our... Now 101 episodes. Sweet. I'm sure we've talked about some of these.
We're in triple digits.
Hell yeah! I'm sure we've covered some of these. We have an entire show or two on survival myths, I think. But some of these we don't. So we'll go through these real quick. Number one, you can cut open a cactus for water. Well, if you happen to live in a place where there are cactuses, hold on. Before we even get into that, I gotta digress for a second. Like, everyone's like, well, if you get lost, you need water, you can just cut open a cactus. How many people live in the desert? Have you seen a wild cactus? Here?
I've seen planted ones in like pots and gardens and shit, but they were put there.
Yeah.
They weren't, they, yeah, they had to be imported. Cacti does not grow naturally in fucking Tennessee.
Yeah, no. the armadillo should bring the cactus up here. Whatever.
They don't look like they care. They pack very
little. I saw an armadillo massacre yesterday driving my mom's house. Like, it was just littered. Like, there was, like, it was like they were just, like, going to their death. It was like I was bobbing and weaving down the highway, like, through, like, severed, like, armadillos everywhere.
You know, as the years go by, and in more recent times, I'm seeing a hell of a lot more armadillo roadkill. Yeah. I mean, it was weird at first when you'd occasionally see one dead armadillo, and you're like, wow.
Five or six years ago, I think, is when I saw the first one.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Is that an armadillo? What the hell are they doing in Tennessee?
And I was like, did someone bring a pet armadillo and let it loose and it died?
Now I'm seeing armadillo roadkill all the time, which makes me ask the question, because I'm seeing so much armadillo roadkill, does that mean the armadillo population is increasing or decreasing? I mean, yeah. I'm seeing a lot more dead ones, but does that mean that we're killing them all, or does that mean there's getting so much more that they can be killed like that?
Yeah, which really makes me sad that they are the only species besides humans that carry leprosy, because otherwise, food source. Like, when people are like, oh, the wild boar population getting out of control, I mean, I'm like, you mean there's free bacon everywhere?
Yeah.
There's
a very fine line between domesticated pig and wild pig. And we've discussed this on the show before.
I've eaten, my stepdad went hunting in Texas, brought back a wild boar, and threw damn near the whole motherfucker on the smoker and smoked that son of a bitch. God, that was good eating.
Oh, that is the one thing about a fucking pig. You can cook that whole damn thing.
Yeah. But anyway.
Back to cacti.
You can cut open a cactus, and it does contain a fluid. Mostly oxalic acid, by the way. But don't expect to hydrate yourself this way. First, it's a pain in the ass to get into them. I ended up in the desert without a knife once. That was dumb, Jeremy.
What the fuck?
And for curiosity's sake, I tried to bust open one using rocks. I tried stabbing it with small, sharp rocks and repeatedly threw a 30-pounder bowl at this damn thing. After 15 minutes, I'd barely scuffed the thick outer skin.
Yeah,
you won't get... What?
They're built for tough.
Yeah. You won't get into a cactus without an axe, machete, or at the very least, a very large, very sharp knife. Pardon the pun, but your spider co folder isn't going to... And if you tie it on a stick, you can. Isn't going to cut it. If you do happen to cut it open, you won't find a reservoir of water like you've seen on television. It's a slimy, bitter gel made of oxalic acid. Making matters even worse, if you manage to choke down the foul goo, it's going to cause diarrhea and vomiting. As a result, further dehydration...
Let's see. Alcohol will prevent hypothermia. Yeah. We've all seen the movies where the rescued dog with a miniature barrel of brandy attached to its collar dashes through the snow to a nearly frozen victim who happily slurps the spirits, instantly warming up and returning to safety. Now I'm going to go off on a side note here. The whole thing about St. Bernard's with a little barrel full of fucking brandy under it, that's all bullshit. That never actually happened. An artist, the whole reason people believe that is because this one artist painted these pictures of the majestic St. Bernard's Alpine Mastiffs, which is incidentally where St. Bernard's got their name. Yeah. They just used to be called Alpine Mastiffs, but they were raised by this one monastery called St. Bernard's up in the Alps, and they rescued people.
Oh, yeah.
They got lost in the snow. That was one of their big deals. They'd send out, they trained these dogs to go out and hunt and rescue people.
Were they also a brewing monastery? A lot of monasteries are like...
I'm not sure, but that was the thing. They never had those, but they didn't carry those. The rescue dogs never carried those. Some artist painting them just thought it would be a nice touch to throw into the painting, and therefore the myth started.
Wow.
I mean, and it made it into movies and TVs and cartoons. God knows I saw Bugs Bunny with one time. And I think they both got sloshed under with the barrel.
Yeah, that's
But anyway, so that's just a myth in itself. It's true that drinking alcohol does make you feel warmer. Feel warmer, but that's only because it increases blood flow to the surface of your skin. This presents a dual problem of giving you a false sense of security and reducing your core body temperature more quickly. Unless you're sitting in a cozy ski lodge, avoid the alcohol.
Yep, for real. What is today? It's May?
Yeah, today's May.
Like 4 months or 3 years sober. I can live off...
High five, dude.
High five.
But...
Whatever.
There you go.
I can live off the land. You know what? We're so full of digressions. I've got an idea for another show topic. We need to do a show topic on I'm not bugging out no matter what. Sometimes I post like episodes or whatever we have on bugging out, and people are like, I don't care what it is. I'm not bugging out. I will never leave my house. And I'm like, chemical truck spills over down the street and spills toxic gas your way. You're not going to leave? No. You're going to die, you dumb fuck.
I'll become a Superman.
Yeah, like people are just like, I'm like, there's a time for bugging in, there's a time for bugging out. And people are like, I will only do this or that. And then it's like, oh, you're dumb. I can live off the land. When the settlers landed on Plymouth Rock, they had plenty of experience living off the land, hunting, foraging, farming, etc. And they were well-versed in primitive skills like fire-starting and making the most of natural resources.
Or, as they called them back in those days, skills.
Yes, living stuff. Yet, they still nearly starved to death.
Yep.
Yes. Today, there are fewer wild animals and edible plants and far more people than then, who will mostly die. And few people possess even a fraction of the skills that our settlers had. If living off the land is your only plan to sustain yourself and your family, you're fucked. I paraphrased.
Yeah. I know everything I need to survive. Oh, shit.
This one's a good one.
Oh, fucking know-it-alls. You ever notice on know-it-alls the ones that really don't know jack?
Yeah.
Contrary to popular belief, knowledge is not power. Knowledge is potential power. I'm a big fan of learning as much as possible, but there is a huge divide between just reading a book and executing a particular plan in the real world. Yeah, like for example with me.
Yeah.
I know how to make a bow drill. I really do. I've seen it done enough times. I've never started a fire with a bow drill. Anyway, I am fortunate because I have a diverse training background. I've received formal training from some of the most advanced experts during my time in the Marine Corps and had the opportunity to execute various techniques in every environment imaginable. Today, I make a point of continuing learning and, more importantly, continue practicing in the field. Yeah, actual doing, I mean, it's great to know how to do shit in theory.
Yeah.
But putting that theory into practice.
Yeah, actually doing it.
Yeah, I mean,
in theory, I know how to make a hand drill. I have took classes on the hand drill. I have studied with famous. I took a class with a guy that holds the record for the fastest hand drill fire. And it was like less than a minute. Like it was under a minute.
Yeah.
I can't do one. I've never successfully made a fire. I've gotten coals.
Now,
never blown that into.
Was he sitting there being timed?
Well, yeah, it was like a.
Well, I mean, that's that. Okay, that's not even a fair thing because that's somebody I imagine fucking had been practicing, had been training on it with a certain type of wood that's gonna catch spark the quickest.
Yeah, this wasn't walking out in the woods and doing it. This was a kit.
Yeah, that's a fucking kit. You could practice with the same kit and use the same fucking materials every day. And get better and better and faster at it. That's not, you know, so, yeah, that's all fine and dandy. Yay, you got the fastest time in the fucking world. But practicality, I mean, yeah, knowing the shit. For anybody who thinks that because they watched, and this is coming from a couch potato, okay? This is coming from a self-proclaimed couch potato survivalist. Who I've said, yeah, I know a lot of shit about surviving, and virtually all of my shit is theory and not practice. Stuff I've seen on TV, movies, shit like that. And for anybody that thinks that they could just take that knowledge and go out there and be like fucking, Grizzly Adams, watch those shows a little bit more closely. I have seen Les Stroud take 12 hours to build a fucking fire. I've seen Cody Lundin give up on fucking fire building.
Dave Canterbury gave up.
The biggest survivalist, the most famous survivalist, the best survivalist, all will fuck up and fail and damn near starve at some point in this fucking survival situation because it's not a perfect science.
Right.
It's not an art form. They call it survival for a reason.
Yeah. I mean,
survival is not living. It's keeping yourself the fuck alive.
Yeah. Yeah. You can survive a snake bite by cutting an X on the puncture wound and sucking the venom out.
Oh, God, this is a huge... Yeah. This is an old, old movie trope.
Yeah. Mike has sucked the venom out of me several times. Da-dum-ching. please do not try this at home. I bet poor Matt is not even going to make it to the end of this episode. He's going to, like, laugh his balls off so hard. Please do not try this. You'll die faster than if you had done nothing. Cutting the wound exposes the poison to more blood vessels, enabling it to spread more quickly, and you can't suck all or even most of the venom out anyway. It was injected under pressure by what amounts to a hypodermic needle deep into your tissue. In fact, much of it will have already entered your bloodstream before you can even get your knife out, to further complicate matters. Any venom you do manage to suck out can be absorbed through your mouth, throat, and or digestive system, going straight back into your bloodstream. I recommend you getting your ass to the hospital with the quickness, and then treat you with proper anti-venom. I do like the snake bite kits. That's much better than that, especially the ones that just pull it out. It can help. it's better than sucking it out for sure. I still would say, yeah, get your ass to the hospital.
Well, I've got two things to add to that one right there. One, it's not like a hypodermic syringe. It's like two. Snakes yeah. have two fangs.
Yeah.
And that's two different spots, two different holes that are not going to get equal pressure no matter what.
Right.
And secondly, about the fucking getting the venom into your mouth. Now, I have heard snake experts, once again, this is all in theory, I've heard snake experts say that venom is not poison. You can literally drink a cup of venom and it not hurt you at all. So that's one of the... So I'm not saying that's Bible truth. I'm not saying that that's Bible fact and law. I'm just saying... There's like no definite on it. He said that's bad. They said it's not bad.
So
get your shit together, people.
Well, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, sure, okay. So my thing is, if you drink it, it goes down your throat into your stomach. Your stomach acid would destroy it. But yeah. Sucking it out, it would probably spend time in your mouth. And a lot of drugs now are done sublingually, so I can imagine some of it
would go
into your bloodstream from being in your mouth.
Yeah, see, those veins up underneath your tongue,
Yeah.
They're very, very close to the surface.
Yeah.
And the place I work for, we deal with a lot of sublingual medication.
Yeah.
And the whole directions are dissolve under your tongue, because it gets into your system faster than any other fucking route. So, yeah, I can see how getting the venom in your mouth, that way, swallowing it is a lot less dangerous from everything I've heard.
Some of the smart drugs I've taken, I just put under my tongue, because it's more effective than
swallowing
it. Yeah,
it just gets into your bloodstream, like... Damn near instantly, within a few minutes.
Yeah. So, fresh urine is a safe way to stay hydrated?
Yep.
No, it's not.
This is a very small bit of truth to this one. Nearly clear urine is about 95% water and 5% uric acid and other wastes, but it will still be a cold day in hell before I drink any. It technically can help you stay hydrated for a little while, but the longer you go without fresh water, the more concentrated the waste materials in your urine will become, and the more harm it will do to your body. Now, keep in mind, it did point out a couple of very good things just then.
Yeah.
Nearly clear urine is about 95% water.
Yeah.
When you're out there in a fucking survival situation,
it turns brown.
You're having to, you know, if you're getting to the point where I might need to drink my own pee, Bear Grylls, if you're getting to that point, you haven't had a drink in a while. Your urine's not going to be clear. It's going to be bright fucking yellow, bordering on brown, like you just fucking said. And they didn't say. They said nearly clear is 95%. So when it gets down to that, I'm guessing it's less than fucking 50%. Fucking.
Probably.
I mean, now, on the very first episode of Man, Woman, Wild I watched with Mike Hawk and Ruth England. Mike Hawk, who I'm still hoping is going to come on the show one day. He have Ruth drink his pee.
That's funny.
That was also the only episode of any of the survival shows where I literally saw them have to bring in the fucking medics on camera. Because she was about to die from dehydration. And plus, that was kind of a stupid thing. Because he was saying, once through your system is okay, but you can only do it once.
Once, yes.
Yeah. But that was the thing. He had her drink his pee, and then he drank his pee. He drank his pee and had her drink his pee. That kind of ruined her pee if there was really a survival situation.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't have been able to drink her pee.
If she had any in the tank, yeah. I mean...
They had to bring her out a medical Gatorade anyway, or whatever the fuck it was. Because she was trembling and shaking.
Pedialyte.
The medics were actually on camera. She was in a rough way.
I would, if you're going to drink your own pee, I would pee it out. Instead of holding it, pee as soon as you can, drink it as soon as you can, and then be done with it. I mean, the longer you hold it, the more concentrated it'll get. The probably worse it'll taste. Like, if you're drinking, like, the clear pee... Probably isn't as bad tasting as a brown pea.
Yeah.
But yeah, first time through, definitely do not do like seconds and thirdsies.
I imagine a heavy night of drinking pee would be a. When I used to drink,
a couple of the nights after I'd drink like Guinness and stuff heavily and I'd pee, I'm like, oh God, it stinks so bad.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, if I'm out, the few times that I've ever been out at a bar and drinking, I'll go pee like fucking 30 minutes after I get there, and then I'll go pee like another 20 minutes later. And it basically just goes like that until I stop drinking. But, I mean, it looks like I'm pissing water at that point.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely unconvinced that I'm not pissing tequila.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, it's because alcohol is a diuretic. It's going to start shoving all the water out of your body.
Right. And lastly, you can determine direction by moss on a tree.
No, you can't.
No, you can't. Supposedly, moss grows on the north side of a tree trunk. In reality, it doesn't. It grows where it damn well pleases. During my last trip through one of Florida's many swamps, I saw moss on all sides of the trees. There's trees in your backyard that there's moss on all sides.
Dude, you've got moss on several sides of your fucking front porch posts.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So do not use that myth at all. Do not go out there and try to find the north side from that way. No. You won't find it.
I wonder where the hell that one came from anyway.
Fuck if I know. Some of these ones are so dumb and weird.
It had to have been like some people that actually had a compass like, hey, for some reason the moss is only growing on the north sides of these trees. So moss must only grow on north sides of trees.
Yeah.
It was a fluke one time and then that became the lore after that.
Yeah. Which, if you're like the furthest, if you're super north, then the moss will only grow on the south side. If you're super south, the moss will only grow on the north side.
Yeah, but that ain't true.
I mean, it's not true, but
yeah, it's regarded.
It's more likely, but it's still not true.
Yeah.
What do we got next?
Coming up next on the show is our main topic, things that are better than voting.
Yeah, this is just to be a quick and fun main topic. There's a lot of hubbubub about the elections coming up. Basically, it's coming down to Trump or Hillary Clinton. It's like, would you rather be fucked in the ass, or would you rather have a glass rod stuck in your urethra with no lube? It's like, you're getting fucked either way.
Yeah.
It's like, this is really what we've come to? Like,
And the whole reason that they've gotten to this point is, okay, and I swear to God,
America's dumb.
Yeah, America's dumb as hell. People are like, oh, Hillary Clinton, she used to be the first lady. I mean, it's kind of like getting Bill Clinton back in the office. Keep in mind, he was the only president to ever be impeached. I mean, I did like a lot of his policies back in the day. Well,
no.
What?
He's not the only president to ever be impeached.
Well, that's the way they always said it. I don't actually follow this shit closely.
60% of all statistics are made up.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, but he was a president that did get impeached.
Yeah.
You know what he called Tony Robbins about that? He's like, I'm getting impeached tomorrow. What should I do? I heard Tony Robbins on a recent interview fucking admit to that.
Wow.
Well, I got a kick out of Tony Robbins. Gigantic motivational speaker, literally and figuratively. But any fucking
way.
Yeah.
He's ridiculously tall.
Yeah, any fucking way. Where the hell was... Okay. But that's the way people like fucking Clinton. And the Clintons have not always made the smartest common sense choices, you know, no. The Whitewater scandal, Monica Lewinsky, all that sort of
Benghazi.
Thing.
Benghazi.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you got that. And then you got Donald Trump. Oh, he says what I've always wanted a candidate to say. He thinks like us. He's a self-made man. He's not going to take crap from anybody. He's going to build that wall and make them pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which is funny. Go ahead.
He's a goddamn novelty.
Yeah, and he's just like literally. I think he like researched the market and was like, okay, this is what people want to hear. Like, they want a blunt asshole out there.
Yeah.
But before that, like, he is a liberal Democrat. He wants gun reform. Like, people are like, oh, he's this. No, he's just saying that shit. Literally, he's just saying that shit.
Yeah, he's a liberal Democrat who's got the Republican nomination.
Well, they don't want to give it to him.
They don't want to give it to him, but goddammit, I mean...
He's winning it. Like, it's basically... Like, everyone... Hold on.
Okay.
You don't even know how bad it is. Like, every... Like, so, basically, running was... the only person that was, like, even close to Trump was Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
He dropped out.
Oh, he did drop out.
Now it's only Trump and, like, some Keish guy that has, like, 3 votes.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's like Donald Trump... 12,000. Keish. 300.
Yeah, I have seen where they're desperate to, like, get an alternate candidate back in there or something. Anybody but Trump, the Republican.
It's too late.
Yeah, it's way too late.
Like, everyone else dropped out.
Yeah.
So, like...
Well, here's the thing about it. Not only is Trump a millionaire, who's fought his way back from bankruptcy several times. I will give him props for that. I mean, he's...
People are quick to be like, oh, well, he went bankrupt and he lost millions of dollars. Well, how many times have you made $1 million to even lose $1 million?
Yeah, and that's the thing. He didn't go bankrupt as much as he filed bankruptcy in very clever, strategic financial ways to fucking retain his fucking wealth and fortune and all that shit. But here's the thing about Trump. He is the star of a reality show. He knows what dumb Americans want to see and hear.
Yeah.
He really fucking... He knows humans love spectacle. We love spectacle.
I mean, that's what this is becoming.
That's the thing. You'll get as many people looking at a fireworks display as a fucking major five-car pileup on the goddamn interstate that delays me from getting home by another hour and a fucking half because everybody's rubbernecking.
Yeah. Or if you've got two, like, fucking trash women fighting over shampoo at a Walmart online, they get 17 million views.
How many fucking copies of those videos bum fights got sold, for God's sake? There's a reason fucking cockfighting, dogfighting, over in some parts of the world, horse fighting and shit like that. There's a reason people like looking at cats in boxes. Jordy, you're such a silly kitty. I wish you people could see this. Jordy's just sitting there in a box, just looking around like, hey, I'm chilling. Oh, get a picture of this. You got to post this on the Facebook page.
Talking about people. We get distracted by the cat.
Our intern is in his booth. This is just... Did you get it?
Yep.
That is fucking cute. I love your cat. But any fucking way. Yeah, people love to... I mean... NASCAR fans. Perfect example. Okay, and I'm not saying all NASCAR fans are dumb hillbillies and rednecks. But, you know, as far as per capita, it's got more than its fair share. And you ask her, what do you hope to see at the race?
Most a wreck?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Hold on.
People like watching wrecks.
If you go to, like, what's that big race in Atlanta or Alabama or Georgia? The Daytona 500? Is that one thing about?
Yeah, Daytona's in Florida, though.
What's it? There's another one?
No, and I think it just happened. Because this one woman I work with, she goes down there.
Oh, well,
she just went to it. Yeah. I don't know if it's the Daytona 500. Might be. But she goes every year. She always saves the vacation days off work to go to this one race down there.
Whatever the race is.
It's Daytona.
Yeah. So whatever the damn race is, people go to see wrecks and titties. Wrecks and titties.
Yeah.
And
Trump knows this. Trump knows people like watching things go batshit.
Yeah.
And they like hearing an asshole. They like watching the asshole. And he's like, hey. He's famous for firing people, for God's sake.
You're fired, yeah.
You're fired. I mean, to the point where he fucking, like, copyright trademark gets fucking... I mean, you have to get permission to say you're fired on shit now because of him. And, like I said, financial genius.
And I hate that. I hate that. So
yeah,
people are frustrated with the elections... And that's why, like, Gary Johnson is polling higher than ever.
Who's Gary Johnson?
He's the guy I voted for last time, remember?
Oh, really? How high is he polling?
Well, 11%.
But still, I mean, that ain't nothing to laugh about for a fucking independent.
Third party, yeah, and he's getting more coverage, and there's a possibility he'll actually be in the debates with Trump and Hillary.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That would be cool, because that hasn't happened since Ross Perot.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah, you're right.
That's the last time there was a third party in a presidential debates.
Yeah, Ross Perot possibly could have won if he hadn't dropped out and then came back in. And people are like, oh, he's too wishy-washy.
I'm quitting. I'm back in. Yeah.
You don't want a president that's just going to quit when things get tough.
Yeah. Well, I kind of wish some would.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway.
But you don't want that before they get elected.
The point of this is people are fed up with this, and they're finally starting to wake up. So... What would be a better use of your time than voting?
Anything.
We're not even gonna entertain the discussion of voting is not a waste of time, because it is.
Yeah.
And we're not going to talk about the lesser of two evils. So what's a better use of time? And we're just going to go back and forth. We'll go back and forth. We'll throw out a few things. Squatting. Squatting is a better use of your time than voting.
Getting caught up on all of your Netflix shows.
Reading. how-to books on skills you don't have.
Learning new skills like crocheting or origami.
Learning clay pottery.
Taking up a foreign language.
I want to carve a bowl or basket weave. Really real.
Write that novel that you've always toyed around with the idea of.
Fucking, if you want to make YouTube videos, just start making them.
Rotating your tires.
Start a podcast. Will Mayer.
Learn to distinguish between the Wisconsin and Jamaican accents.
Yeah, man.
That was Wisconsin.
Go to welding school at night to become a welder like Yep Dimitri so you can weld Cash Potato Mike cock rings.
Yes. And I still say those are a little bit too small.
Snug.
Take night classes or any other classes. Really get in touch with how to build and take apart cars.
That is a good skill. Go take a firearms training class. You may own weapons, but when's the last time you took training?
Test your tolerance for pain. See how many staples you can actually get into your arm.
Yeah. Learn a new recipe and then cook it for your friends or family. Friends or family. Same diff.
Mm-hmm. Learn how to bootleg anything off the internet.
Learn how to take store-bought things and make booze out of it. I made Mike's super hard lemonade. I don't know why I always go into Arnold Schwarzenegger. Super hard!
Oh my god. Take up the fine art form of extreme couponing. Let's see if you can get $900 worth of groceries for $5.
Run an extreme race, like the Tough Mudder.
Or train for any type of fine 5K, like the color run that my wife's going to be doing pretty soon.
Next week?
I think so, actually. This is a very busy month for her.
Yeah.
And she got all these kids' field trips. She wanted to go to this wedding yesterday, but she was sick as a damn dog, bless her heart.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And she's doing the color run, which they say is the happiest 5K in the world. It's the one fucking thing that you can go do and, like, hey, color run? Yeah, you spot it instantly. Other than squatting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's the motherfucker sitting on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Without a bottle.
And you know what? In honor of, for us, it was yesterday. For you guys, it's like a week ago. May 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Was International Garden Naked Day. Start a garden.
Naked?
With or without clothes.
No, I mean, if you got to do it, you got to do it right.
Yeah.
Gardening naked.
Get your balls in that soil.
That would explain those weird pictures I was seeing on Facebook.
Yeah, nude gardening.
Get back in touch with your old, long-lost friends and relatives that you've been wondering, oh, I wonder what they're up to.
Yep. Try a new cheese you've never had before. Me, I just had Jarlsberg, a Norwegian cheese.
Figure out ways to get over old allergies that have always kept you from eating the things you want.
Don't eat natto. That is not a better use of your time.
No.
No. No.
Figure out what all insects in your local area can be cooked and digested without any ill consequences.
That's a good one. I actually considered having a show, maybe this show, on insect eating. Which some people are opposed to. I'm not so much opposed to.
Hey, it's fucking free protein.
It is. Oh, and it's really good. So all those things are better than voting.
And there's millions and millions of more things that we didn't cover, but we don't have time to discuss all the things that are better than voting.
No.
And a more productive use of your fucking time.
Yes. Play with the kids, bang your wife, all that stuff is better. And either way, whoever becomes the president really won't have much of an effect. Just, I saw a meme about Dean Winchester. He's like, I don't care who wins. I'm just stockpiling guns and ammo, bitches.
Yeah, I saw that meme.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Supernatural memes.
It's, oh my God. I want to make one of those. This is Dean. Be like Dean. Dean doesn't care who becomes president. Dean is stockpiling weapons in his Impala.
Find a great place to have a bacon cheeseburger.
Oh my gosh. Which, if you happen to live in the Nashville and or Tennessee area and you know a place with a damn good cheeseburger, send us a line.
Please do.
JamesRobbPunk.com.
I've been looking for a great, like a fucking bacon cheeseburger that Dean Winchester would want. I love fucking like mom and pop diners and shit like that that aren't like insanely overpriced. I don't want to pay $11 for a cheeseburger. I mean, some place where, you know, Waffle House, but without all the corporate funding. Yeah. Something like that.
We should look it up and go and find, like, what voted is, like, the best cheeseburger in Tennessee or Nashville or whatever.
Yeah, but still, you do that and you're going to end up with a $15 cheeseburger.
Yeah, but if you're only eating it, like, once, mm-hmm. I mean, if I found the best cheeseburger in Nashville, I'm not going to go there every week, but I will spend $15 to go eat it, you know.
See, my dad had this great mom and pop place that he ate at every damn day called Wendell Smith's in West Nashville. I'm sure you heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like right
never ate there, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right across from Doc Bradley's drugstore.
Yep.
Now, fucking, but he ate there every fucking day. I mean, it's just this great little mom and pop place. It's only one place. Hell, there's not even that many fucking seats inside.
Oh, wow.
But really fucking good diner food. I'll try there. I've never actually had a bacon cheeseburger from there. I've had breakfast from there, though, when my dad bought for me.
Yeah. There's a place in East Nashville I had called The Pharmacy, spelled like F-A-R-M-C-Y.
Okay.
And they were a burger joint only, kind of trendy and hipster, but they had some, like, super good handcrafted burgers.
God, I miss the Big Burger or whatever the hell it was with me and you ate.
In front of Kroger's?
Yes.
And, oh, my God. Yes.
I miss that place. That
a was, dollar burger. It was giant.
It
good.
Was. You would got. Oh, God. We were homeless and we'd get full off that damn thing.
Yeah. One burger was like.
Oh, God. That woman tried to barter with you for your Hello Kitty watch. I loved that.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. Oh. So, wait. Where were we at? Cheeseburgers. Yep. Yeah. If you know a good cheeseburger, let us know.
Finding the best cheeseburger is also an excellent thing to do instead of voting.
Way better. What's next?
Coming up next is our Nutrition Punk segment.
Leg day! What? Friends don't let friends skip leg day, says Broden.
Yeah, well, friends warn people about the fucking possible consequences of leg day before they start doing squats. God damn it.
So yesterday, me and Mike did a 5x5 squat day.
You did a 5x5.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I did it. Yeah, one practice set and then 5 working sets.
Yeah, after my 4th set, I could not continue. But then again, I've never done fucking squats that 4. And in my defense, that last set had all the weights on it.
Yeah, which...
It's 105 pounds of weight.
It was 105 pounds.
But, like I said, I'm new to the whole working out thing.
Right, and so I was disappointed that on my last set, I got 13 reps, and I'm like, well, this is just too light. On the last set, I should have been felling around 6.
Yeah, we were doing sets of 12, and on my 4th set, I could only get up to 10. See, I've got scoliosis, and after a while, my back, it just feels like somebody sticks an ice pick in it, and I have to stop.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, I can get my back muscles or something where it'll support me better, but still, a crooked spine's a crooked spine. But I pushed myself to the goddamn limit.
Yeah. Yeah, you did good. I want more weight, but yeah.
Now, I'm going to warn you about doing squats, because that's where you put the fucking barbell up on your fucking... You're supposed to put it on top of your shoulder blades. I had it in the wrong spot. Now I've got a huge fucking bruise on the back of my neck.
Yeah.
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 You should have told me better about that.
So that was fun.
It hurts.
Never seen anyone put it up that high before.
Well, I didn't know better.
Yeah. Let me just slide it
out. See, that's my thing. I mean, if I can find a way to do it wrong, I'm going to do it wrong.
Yeah. I mean, your posture wasn't that bad. You were... I mean... Towards the end, your back started routing, which I'm bad about, but, I mean, yeah, and your legs stayed, you weren't, like, collapsing at the knees that bad, so you did good.
No, I was getting wobbly toward the end there.
Yeah.
So I worked my ass off. Now, I found out something about squatting that I never knew about squatting, that it didn't happen while I was working out. It didn't even happen immediately after I was working out. But over an hour after I was done working out, and we had left my property and gone into town in search of a good cheeseburger.
Food and controllers for the Xbox, because I got Halo. Yeah.
Now, dropped my wife off at this one store, then ran to the other side of the same shopping center to go to the GameStop there to see if I could find a reasonably priced Xbox 360 controller.
Which was quite the quest in itself.
Now, I didn't think anything of it, and I had not been forewarned on this. So I immediately, you know, opened my door, spin around in my seat, put my feet on the ground, get out, and immediately my ass drops to the door frame from the seat. Because I'm like, oh shit, my legs won't lift me.
No.
And then he's like, oh yeah, that happens, you know, you get, you know, what did you call it?
What the DOMS come later. The DOMS are delayed onset muscle soreness. This is kind of what you're feeling today and probably tomorrow.
But I was experiencing muscle fatigue and muscle failure, basically. And, you know, there's a curb that you step up on. He's like, oh yeah, you're going to have fun with that curb when you come back out.
Stepping and Mike down. Was like, yeah, whatever, bro. Well,
we go in, find out everything's insanely overpriced for what I'm looking for.
Like $30 for a used controller?
$35.
Yeah.
I mean, it was only $32 if you had the membership, but still.
Whatever.
Fuck that. I wound up getting one for $20, but that comes later. So I come back out, and the curb is 2 inches.
Yeah.
And he's like, you want me to hold your hand? And I think he's just being a smartass. I'm like, I think I got this. I tipped a step down off that curb, and my legs turned into jelly.
Yeah,
you and I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, and my torso drops straight fucking down, ass on the fucking sidewalk.
Yeah.
And he's standing there doing then what he's doing now.
Yeah.
And he helps me back up, and I actually get up with relative ease at that point. That was fall number one.
Yeah.
So we go and pick up my wife, and we go into Nashville, and we go to the place, the burger place that we went to.
ML Rose in ML West Rose. Nashville.
Which, good burger, okay?
Not decent, decent. Well, I had a five alarm spicy burger.
I
thought it was pretty good.
You arguably had the best burger out of the
Your wife, I tried a bite of your wife's, like she cut off a piece. Like, I should, yeah. Hers was just sort of dry and...
Mine was okay. I had the Belgian, but I should have got... I'm kicking myself for not going with a five alarm.
Or the Dragon Burger. I wish you would have got the Dragon Burger, which was like, what, Sriracha or something?
Yeah. I like Sriracha.
Yeah.
But get into the point.
Their waffle fries are the bomb.
Well, we parked around back because there was like no place to park. And around back is way downhill of where the door is.
Yeah.
So we walk around the building. Okay, first off, I need help getting out of the car.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, okay, things are starting to get serious here.
Yeah.
So I'm walking up this hill and there's a fucking ramp. And I'm like, I don't trust anything with a step down anymore. So I'm going up the ramp. I'm halfway up the ramp.
I knew that was a bad idea, too.
Which you didn't warn me about that either, motherfucker.
That's why I went up the normal hill. But I was like, Mike's going to go up the ramp. Because the ramp is actually steeper.
This was a whole goddamn day of him making me do squats and then not warning me about shit that could fucking happen. So I go up the ramp, and it's steep. And, oh yeah, one thing. One fucking thing. And halfway up the ramp, I collapse, I'm in a collapse, and I'm spinning around in the collapse, and I'm trying not to let my ass hit the concrete again. My ass hits the concrete again. And then it takes James, and God bless my sick wife, them both grabbing a hand, and him planting his feet on my feet, and pivoting my ass back up.
Yeah.
So we get into the fucking restaurant, we sit, and, you know, we have our meal.
Yeah, your wife picks the lowest bit, so you can, like, plop down onto it.
I'd wish you'd picked a higher place, because that way I would have had lower to drop, and I could have got up easier. But I actually, in my defense, I got out of the booth okay.
I disagree. Had your wife picked a higher bench, when you tried to, like, pivot up out of it, I'm sure your feet would have collapsed right then. Like, you would have hit the ground right away.
Yeah, you're probably right. But anyway, I managed to get out of the bench okay. And I'm like, alright, I got this, okay? I mean, I've only had trouble with, like, hills and with step downs. So I got this. So James goes to
take a leak.
He goes to take a leak. I'm walking out of the restaurant on a perfectly level, non-obstacle ridden surface.
Yeah, no peanut shells all over the floor or anything.
I get 3.5 booths down, and my legs say, "Oh no, fat ass! You were supposed to fall out of that booth. You're falling now." Wham. And I crumpled on the floor. I'm hearing people, "Oh God, oh, is he okay?" I'm hearing all this. Meanwhile, I have to crawl up another 3 feet to get to this empty booth to try to pull my ass back up, which I managed to do. I was proud of myself.
Yeah.
Actually, I wasn't proud of myself at that point, but I got myself up. I was a little bit proud.
Yeah.
Our next stop was McKay, the used bookstore, video store, video game store, a bunch of cool shit. Went in there, found a reasonably priced used Xbox controller. So, Xbox 360 specifically.
Yeah.
Now, I'll be honest, people were holding my hand and everything, because I was at the point of being really fucking nervous.
You were definitely,
I was a lot more cautious.
I wasn't gonna, you weren't like waddling, but you were stiff legging. You were like lurch walking.
I was trying not to let my knees bend, what it was. Because I knew if my knees bent too much, I was fucked. So I managed to get into McKay's, all the way through McKay's, back out of McKay's, no problem. Because I no longer trusted flat surfaces anymore.
Yeah.
So I got out of McKay's. And at this point, I've kind of got my hands on you.
Yeah.
For support.
We're going towards the wheelchair ramp.
Yeah, we're going toward the wheelchair ramp, because it's not a step down. It's a gradual thing. We're 3 feet away from the wheelchair ramp when my legs is like, oh, it's our break. And then I collapse again.
Yeah.
And at this point, James is turning around to help me up. I'm like, no, fuck it. I scoot over to the edge of the curb and sit there. I'm like, go get the car. Just bring the car over here. Well, he does that. And here's where the fun ensues. He gets back out there. And my wife's come out by this point. She's like, "Did you fall again?" I'm like, "No, I just like sitting on the sidewalk."
Yeah.
So, you try to help me up. Actually, you've pulled the car up.
Your wife is trying to help you up.
She's trying to help me up, and that didn't work. And this dude,
like very athletic,
He was dressed like he had just come from the gym from the fucking basketball court or whatever. I don't know. He looked like he'd been doing shit that morning. Very nice guy. He decided he was going to try to help. He was going to help me up. So he gets in front of me and grabs my arms and braces himself and yanks my ass up and
into him.
Basically, I kind of almost clobber the dude.
Yeah,
and I still don't make it upright. I'm down on one knee.
Yeah,
and I'm down on the ground again, and I hear this other woman is like, and they're like, "Oh, is he okay?"
Yeah.
And you were like, "No, his legs are hurt. We were doing squats today." She's like, "My son works out. Hold on, back up a little." She's fucking giving me advice.
Yeah, she's like, "You just take a break." She's like, "You just sit there." And you're like, "No, I was just crawling the door."
Yeah, because I couldn't fucking lift myself up. Even with this dude helping me, I could not. My all muscle control in my body was gone.
Yeah.
In my legs, that is. And I could not pull myself up. And then this other white guy walks up. Oh, because the first guy was a black guy. I'm just differentiating.
Yeah, no, I said that earlier.
But this other guy walks up, also an athletic motherfucker.
Probably Jack, though. Like, he's bigger. Like, he's a lot more muscular.
Yeah. But, he walks up behind me. I don't see his face until after I'm eventually upright, which does happen. This is the only thing I hear him say. Squats.
Yeah.
And he gets behind me. Because at this point, I'm so fucking fed up. I might just open the passenger door, I'll crawl in.
Yeah.
And bless this dude, he gets his arms up under my arms, right up in my armpits. Black guy grabs my arms, and with one massive last effort, they heave my ass upright again.
Yeah.
I patting shoulders and shaking hands and thanking people so fucking profusely. I tell them, "Look, I've done squats for the first time ever today. I'm just trying to get myself into shape." And God bless him, the black dude, he was like, "You know what? You're doing good, man. You keep it up. You keep it up. You keep going." And I get my ass in the car, and then we ride back into our own county. And for a while, at this point, my confidence and my courage was starting to deteriorate. Because I knew at some point I was going to have to get out of that fucking car, and I was not looking forward to my next collapse.
You had steps.
I had anxiety about these steps and about my fucking obstacle-strewn yard. So, and I have a little bit of a, I have to have a come to Jesus moment, essentially. I got to be honest, when my two biggest loved ones in the world that are adults, my wife and my bestie here, So, you know, let them, I've got anxiety. I kind of feel like a wimp right now. I can't control my legs. You know, when he explained to me, like, everybody that does squats, virtually everybody that does squats, has had that day. The biggest fucking bodybuilders in the world have sometimes had to be carried out of fucking gyms after squats.
Yeah, there's this bodybuilder, I can't remember his name, Bryce, but it's just, anyway, so you know, like, every bodybuilder kind of has, like, their signature, like, part, you know, like, Schwarzenegger was sort of, you know, pecs and arms and stuff, mm-hmm. You know, and there's a couple other people. Well, who this guy? He's a current bodybuilder, and I can't remember his fucking name. Anyway, his legs are his thing. Like, his legs are like the size of your waist.
Goddamn.
Yeah, his legs are fucking huge, and he was telling the story in like a bodybuilding magazine. Like, he had like the worst, most brutal like leg day ever, and he had to have like four other people just carry him out. Like. He couldn't move at all. Like, you kept falling. He could not even stand. He could not get up. Like, he was just dead body weight, like a drunkard. They just had to like pick him up and carry him out. And you know, so, bodybuilder, he's like 270 pounds or something.
You know, and I'll admit, hearing this stuff did make me feel like I'm in good company. I'm not alone. I'm not just a wimp. This happens to a lot of people, which helped to alleviate the funk that was setting in, but. Not the anxiety about having to get out of that fucking car.
Yeah.
Which we eventually got home. I had to be lifted back out of the car again, onto my legs. And basically, bless your heart, you let me drape myself all over your shoulders and walk through that yard. And I stumbled, and you caught me. And then we got to the fucking stairs, which, yeah, those fucking things were scared me. I didn't want to knock you off the stairs.
But you did it like a boss. The guy's name is Brant Warren. I just remembered. This is him.
God damn, those are legs.
Yeah, yeah. Like, is that not like the size of your waist, dude?
Jesus.
I mean, each leg. Each leg is like...
That is fucking nuts.
Yeah. So, Branch Warren, look that motherfucker
I can
up.
See why it would take four fucking guys to carry him out of a gym, too.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, but no, I got up the fucking stairs. I had to do... I couldn't walk up the steps like normal. I had to... Because I was trying to... I had to step up, then, like, kind of pull the other leg up onto that step and up again.
And we were doing it in unison. Like, Mike was leaning on, like, the rail and me, and, like, we'd both step up with one leg and then the other leg. One leg, the other leg. One leg, the other way.
And then there was the step from the porch into the house, which I didn't trust that either.
Yeah.
So I made you go in and front of me just to be on the safe side. So I made it into my bedroom, and I thought everything was okay. I mean, I even got up and made fondue after a while. We played Halo, and... Okay, I'm like, I'm wobbly, but I haven't fallen again. Maybe I'm past this. Maybe I'm getting to the point. Because I even righted myself out of a chair without help.
You're moving in, like, you're cooking and moving back and forth and in and around and shit.
Well, I was gathering everything. Once I got everything on the table, though, I sat down and you basically became my assistant. And I was like, dude, could you please go get... Because I didn't want to get back up. But after everything was said and done, I was heading to the bathroom to have a cigarette. Because that's our designated smoking area.
And this is after a few cigarettes. Like, this is at night. Like, you'd been in the bathroom a few times already.
Yeah, I'd already been in the bathroom a few times. But going through there, my kids were still in there playing Halo.
Yeah.
And there, I had no idea my arch nemesis of the day would be the corner of a comforter mm-hmm. that was just in the wrong spot on the floor. And I stepped on it funny, which caused my foot to shift its position from flat to an angle. Which made my knees buckle, and if you've ever seen one of those cheap fucking jacks that come with cars that are like a scissor thing, where it just fucking goes flat, that's what my legs did. Okay, I was happy that, I'd had several falls that day. None of them had been painful. That, my legs folded in half, both of them, and I pulled every muscle in my calves, in my hips, my thighs... All at the same time, and I am man enough to admit, I cried like a fucking baby. That fucking sucked. I mean, I just had so much pain shoot through every inch of my damn legs that I was literally a flat, fat mess on the floor fucking crying. I crawled into the bathroom to have that damn cigarette. I did. I fucking literally crawled in there, and it still took me a minute to fucking stop. That just fucking sucked, okay?
Yeah.
That was the only painful fall, and that was fortunately my last fall. Because after that, I got into bed, and I did get up, have a snack later on. I never stay full for long, which is why I'm a fat ass. But anyway, so I didn't have a fall, and that was my last fall, and it was the worst fall.
Yeah.
But this morning, I was very fucking proud of myself. At about 5 o'clock this morning, the urge to pee hit me really bad and woke me up.
Yeah.
And not even thinking about... Yeah, I'm groggy. So I fucking roll over and I sit up and I stand up and go into the bathroom. I'm halfway to the bathroom. I sat up and stood up by myself.
Yeah.
Because to get off the bed, I was kind of having to grab my dresser and bouncy, bouncy, bouncy until I fucking get my knees locked in place and get myself upright. But I stood up by myself. And coming over here, I stood up by myself. I made it down the stairs by myself. I was leaning on that rail, though.
Yeah.
Because I still don't fucking trust the stairs. But yeah, I'm actually standing up by myself, and today, my legs are fucking aching like a son of a bitch. They weren't aching at all yesterday until I had that last fall.
Delayed onset muscle soreness. Yeah. You got the DOMS.
Yeah, I got the DOMS.
If things follow like mine and most people's experiences, they'll hurt more tomorrow.
Oh, God.
You'll be able to walk, and you'll be fine. Like, your legs won't buckle on you.
But they'll just be sore.
But they'll just be sore. And it'll hurt moving, too. Like,
see, like, yesterday,
completely... If you take a shit tomorrow, you'll have to fall onto the toilet.
So, yesterday, completely wobbly. Today, slightly wobbly, but some soreness coming in. So, tomorrow, I should be stable, but very fucking sore.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And hopefully it gets better after that.
Yeah. Oh, and then we squat again.
Oh, yeah. The fuck we do. I said I wanted a big upper body, and you had me fucking working on my legs. I'm happy with the size of my legs, so...
We should have just probably waited. We should... I love squatting. Like, squatting is my thing. We were supposed to do 3 exercises, so we shouldn't have... So in the future, we probably will not start with the squats.
If I squat again, it'll be the last damn thing I do.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's a strong if.
It'll be the last thing we do. We'll start with bench press.
Yeah, you're right. Squatting will be the last thing I ever do.
No. No. Do we have anything else?
Oh, we have our listener question.
Oh, let's knock that out real quick, and then
we're
going to wrap up.
We're going to skip the mic rant this week. So, I've already ranted enough.
Yeah, so we're going to call in for Matt this week.
I knew it was going to happen, but still the voicemail got me. Golly, guys. Oh, hey, this is Matt from Oklahoma, and I have a question. What are some cheap or, inexpensive bug-out bag items that, you wouldn't necessarily think of? Not like a knife or a blanket or anything like that, but something that you wouldn't necessarily think of that to have a bug-out bag, but is a really good idea. I have one. It's just a couple bucks at Walmart. Nail puller bar or a pry bar, but it's a flat one. Every single member of my family that has a bug-out bag has one of those in it. It's great. You can use it to hammer with. You can use it to pull out nails. You can. I live in tornado country, in the Oklahoma, and it's great for if you get trapped or gonna pry open a door, or you can be used as a weapon. Which I'm Matt. I am a weapon. So I'm gonna shut up now and let you guys answer the question. So bye.
So that was Matt. Matt was asking about unusual items people have in bug-out bags. So everyone knows that you have, like, your knife, your paracord, blah, blah, blah. So people have some unusual things. He has a pry bar and a flat pry bar at that, which I have a mini round pry bar, and I like the flat ones better. So Matt's good on that, and it's good to have. So me and Mike were sort of kicking around, like, some unusual things, and... we could probably expand that into, like, a whole show, like, bug-out bag unusual items. But we've got a couple things off the top of our head, because we both have some unusual items. One thing that I think people should have, especially if... I mean, inner-city bug-out people especially, but everyone pretty much, is a seal lock key. And that'll turn water on. Like, you can use it to turn on the water mains. You can, like, turn on, like, it's a water key. Mm-hmm. So there's, and they're super cheap, like.
How big are they, though?
They're fairly small. You'll need some leverage or something to turn, like, a water main with one. Mm-hmm.
You mean, like, one of the cutoff valves out
there?
Yeah,
you can use it.
Well, technically, you could do that with a crescent wrench.
You can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the seal lock key works for other stuff, too.
Well, so does a crescent wrench.
Yeah. Yeah. It just works better.
Yeah.
So I don't see a reason why not to carry a seal lock key. They're cheap. So what about with you? What's something you have?
Well, you know, a lot of people... Okay, I've actually got a couple things that I'd recommend. But one of which is something I'm guessing a lot of people think of is duct tape. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that's easily forgettable. But, I mean, duct tape can be really fucking cheap. I can get it at the Dollar Tree. But one awesome thing, and you brought up something like this earlier. I think he even did... At the fucking Dollar Tree, if you look occasionally, they have some pretty nice tools, and everything's a dollar.
Yeah.
Like, I got a very small crowbar from the Dollar Tree for a dollar. I got a fucking very nice fucking rubber mallet from there for a dollar. They have really nice fucking levels. Nice. I mean, levels that look exactly like your fucking level over there.
Yeah.
Maybe for a buck. I mean... There's all sorts of tools, and because, you know, they're trying to do these on the cheap, a lot of times they're smaller and they're more compact and can fit into a bug-out bag a lot easier.
Yeah.
But pretty fucking... You gotta watch out. Not all the tools from there. I bought a hammer from the Dollar Tree, and that thing is long gone. It's trash. The handle broke on it.
Oh, yeah.
But you just gotta, you know, you gotta watch out. You gotta smart shoply. But, I mean, a lot of shit from the Dollar Tree. Very cheap. Very compact.
Yeah.
Fits into a bug-out bag. I mean... You could, and I'm not sure, I'm sure there's been tutorials on how to do this shit all over the internet, but you could fucking make an entire bug out bag from fucking everything's a dollar stores.
Oh yeah, you can. I had an article I was working on that never...
I mean, plus vitamin supplements, certain pain relievers, you know, like Tylenol and shit, Advil, shit like that.
God.
Fucking Aleve. Aleve's a really good one.
So Randy's listening right now going, yeah, I love the Dollar Tree. Every time I'm like, she's like, you can get that from the Dollar Tree.
I mean, and plus, I mean, they have good supplements. Like, you can get fucking bottles of B12 at the Dollar Tree.
You can't get Shatter S7 Black Onyx, though.
No, you can't get that at the Dollar Tree.
So another thing that I carry in pretty much all of my kits is just a USB cable. Whatever one has to be standard. Like, I started carrying USB cables back when it was the Micro or Mini. Whatever the old one was. Now I carry the new standard. For both, like, one, I mean, as your everyday use, people always need a fucking USB cable for their phones and shit.
Oh, God, yeah.
All the time.
If it's not an Apple product.
Yeah, connecting, if you're an Apple person, then obviously you want to carry a Lightning cable. Or they, like, I've got some
that
has,
those?
They're called Lightning cables,
Yeah,
FireWire Lightning cable.
Oh, whatever floats your boat.
Actually, yeah, FireWire and USB. Anyway, yeah. Or you can have adapters to swap them out, like change the heads on them. I've got some of those. And worst case scenario, you've got cordage.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, or even, like, you can take it apart and it has many strands. It's kind of like paracord, just not as strong. So I carry that. Sporks. I don't know if everyone... I mean, a lot of people carry sporks. I carry a spork. All my kids have sporks.
Or a sporf.
Sporf?
Spork, spoon, knife, fork.
Oh.
They'll actually have a knife blade on it.
Yeah.
I saw that as a fucking sabotage at Cutthroat Kitchen recently. Somebody had all their fucking tools, hand tools and knives taken away, and they could only use a spork.
Ugh. That would be annoying.
A plastic spork.
Oh, even worse. Yeah. My spork is titanium. At least one of them, anyway. I haven't seen a lot of people do this, but I like to always throw in a couple paper clips and safety pins. Like, paper clips, like...
Paper clips are great.
Yeah, if you have... So, there's a trick that you can do, and I used to carry it in my wallet. I used to carry one paper clip and one key ring.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got a pair of jeans that the zipper goes lazy on, mm-hmm. you know, you're walking around and your zipper keeps coming down the whole day and you keep having to zip it back up.
Yeah.
You take the paper clip and you run it through that hole in the zipper, because all the zippers have that little, like, notchy hole in the bottom.
Right.
So, you put the paper clip in there so it holds it in,
and then you take the key ring and you thread that through there, and then you put that through the button and then button your pants. It locks your zipper into place.
Well, there you go.
So, I mean, you know, or if your zipper gets broken, you know, it won't stay up or down, you use that. There's like a million reasons. Like, you can make fish hooks, you can make snares, you can do all sorts of things with paper clips. I like to carry paper clips.
You know what you're doing, you could even use them as lock picks.
Yeah. I've seen people do that. It's a pain in the ass. I've rolled lock picks, and I have a hard time picking locks. Yeah.
Which is another thing that you can do instead of voting.
Yeah.
Learning how to pick locks better.
Yeah. You could include lock picks in your bug out bag. I think one of mine has a set of lock picks in them. Be aware that the laws in your area may count that as a felony if you are caught with them.
Unless you're like a fucking licensed locksmith.
Yeah, some places will let you do it, some places will let you carry them, it'll be fine. But if they charge you with any crime, then they can charge you with the possession of thief tools. So if you get a speeding ticket, they won't be dicks. They're like, oh, and you have thief tools. And some places don't care, but just be aware of the local laws.
Yeah, like you said, some places it's a law by itself. Some places it's a law on top of a crime on top of an existing violation. So But they're also very small, compact, can fit in like
anywhere.
They can fit in the fifth pocket of your jeans.
Yeah. Another thing that is illegal that you can consider carrying. Oh, actually, hold on. Never mind.
Flares.
Flares are good. Yeah.
Yeah, flares, and that's something not a lot of people think about. I mean, they have small, compact, like hand flares, multi-uses, good for signaling. Hell, in there was one episode of fucking Survivor, man. He was using them to start a goddamn fire with.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Multiple uses, not unitaskers. So there's that. Another one of those illegal things I was going to talk about is they make handcuff keys, like concealable handcuff keys. Some like plastic knockout ones that you can hide. So that might be a thing. Like, you could use it to escape from police handcuffs, or if terrorists are handcuffing you, you can get out, or insurgents, or, you know, criminals. So, I mean, you make that choice. Like,
there is a video, I saw it on YouTube one fucking time, and people, please, go find this. Though, hell, there might be more.
Yeah.
Where dude actually showed how you could you know, because they sell, like, plastic toy handcuffs and shit like that. But they'll have a little key. I mean, they'll also have, like, an emergency release lever.
Right.
You know. But they'll have a little key. And on some of them, that little key is close enough to an actual handcuff key that, believe it or not, it will unlock fucking real handcuffs.
Yeah, the handcuff key mechanism design is pretty... So another way to pick a handcuff, like, we should have an episode on lockpicking, actually... So the handcuffs work by that little ratcheting mechanism where the hand goes down and it ratchets down.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a thin like piece of shim and stick in there, and it just pushes the pins back because the pins are so primitive. It just opens wide up.
I mean, yeah, it's a very primitive lock. I mean, which is why it doesn't matter. I mean, handcuffs don't have a designated fucking key. It's just a fucking handcuff key that comes off a fucking assembly line.
Yeah.
If you've got a key to a handcuff. Set of handcuffs. It'll work on all the handcuffs.
Yeah.
As well as, like, fucking leg shackles and shit that. All use the same. I've got a fucking set of handcuffs with a key, and I've got, like, this, my dad, bless his heart, he gave me this fucking, really nice watch box that has a fucking locking mechanism. My fucking handcuff key unlocks that thing.
Well, there, yeah.
It doesn't work the other way around because the actual fucking key that comes with that's bigger and won't fit in a handcuff hole, but still.
I think just to wrap this up, the last thing I can think of is something that I keep in both my car and clipped onto my bug out bags, and it's called a rescue, or rescue me, one of the two. It's real tiny. It's like it's smaller than a Bic lighter, to be honest, and it has embedded in it a seatbelt cutter, and it has a ceramic windshield buster. Like
wow,
it's almost like the design's almost like a diabetes lancet.
Really?
Where you just sort of push it against the glass, and it just shatters. It's not like a crazy hammer. It, like, you just touch it, and you push it in, and it clicks a ceramic glass breaker. It'll shatter all the windows.
No, yeah, that's always a good thing. And one last thing I'd like to add is something that my wife actually helped me with. I replaced my bug-out bag shoulder strap with one made entirely out of an entire, like, it's like fucking 250 feet worth of paracord made into a shoulder, braided into a fucking shoulder strap. So that's basically, got a shoulder strap, keep the original shoulder strap in the bag, but when, I mean, this one's a hell of a lot stronger, a hell of a lot more durable. Plus, in the event that I need it, it is one very long fucking piece of 550 cord.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a lot of cordage.
So, those are a couple really good things to have. I'm positive we can make this a whole episode.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because we didn't even pre-plan this. We're just off the top of our
head. No, this is literally just us spitballing.
Yeah, so, episode's running long. I meant to make it short. It's time for night-night.
Yeah, it's past.
And on that bombshell, yeah.
Yes, and on that bombshell.
Speaking of which, if you don't see me, if you don't, I'll send you a message before 9. If you don't hear me before 9, or 8:30, 8, I'll message you before 8 o'clock. Because last week I slept to 9. I was like, oh, fuck, God, I gotta go wrong. And that was when I lost my wallet.
So if I don't hear from you by 8 o'clock?
Just come knock on the door, poke your head in there.
Okay.
You know.
I'll do that. That's the least I can do.
Yeah.
And on that bombshell, it is time for us to end. So for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
And this is James Wolfman Burnett.
And remember, do all the research on what could possibly happen before a major workout. That way you don't fall in a restaurant full of people and embarrass yourself.
DIY, let's go ahead and use guys.
Use guys.